This is Paul Mills. Thank you for listening to this message from God's Word. It is my prayer that God will speak to you today, bring hope, healing, and direction in your life. Take your Bibles, please. Turn with us to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 15. I am continuing a series that I have been on for the past several weeks titled, What God Has Promised. Again, it's so good to see everybody this morning, and we're just believing that as the weather gets better, we're going to grow and continue to see God's favor and grace in a special way. Would you stand for the reading of the Word of God, please? John chapter 15, and I'm reading in verse number 7. John chapter 15, verse number 7. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. There are four conditions here. Number one, if you remain in me. How do we do that? It's by simple faith. Lord, I acknowledge you as Lord of my life. My words remain in you. How does that happen? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes how? By the Word of God. We hide God's Word in our heart. We listen to it. We meditate upon it. We read it. Number three, whatever you wish. When you meditate on God's Word, when you put Him first, your desires are going to become God's desires. You're going to begin to pray according to the Word of God. You're not going to be praying, Lord, bless me as I go rob the 7-Eleven today. Amen? You're praying according to the will of God as you hide His Word in your heart. If you do that, it will be given to you. As a child, I heard that song, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Ladies and gentlemen, this is God's revelation to you. In it, there is salvation, there's hope, there's life. Father, I pray you'll bless the Word today. You know the needs of the people, meet them. If there are those here who do not know you as Savior before this day is over, may they say yes to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. I'm in a series of messages, and during the previous messages in the series, and I encourage you, there are notes in your bulletin. Take those notes and follow with me. It will make it easier, and you can jot down information. But in this series, we have looked at a number of topics. We've looked at answers to prayer. Is that important? Better believe it is. We've looked at God's promise for blessings, for cleansing, for comfort, for deliverance, for guidance, for health, for forgiveness, for long life, and for peace. And today, we're going to be looking at three more of God's promises. Not sure if we'll get all three covered, but we'll take a run at them. Amen? How many of you know whenever I hand you notes, it's just kind of for general purposes? Don't stake anything on it. Number one this morning, we're going to be talking about plenty. The words of God through Moses given to the children of Israel. What a promise He gives them in Leviticus 25. Verse 3, and Leviticus 26, and some of these are in your notes, so you can just follow with me. Leviticus 26, verse 3, if you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will send you rain in its season, and the ground will yield its crop. And the trees of the field, their fruit. Your threshing will continue until grape harvest, and the grape harvest will continue until planting, and you will eat all the food you want and live in safety in your land. God said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. How many of you know God knows you need things? You need food, you need raiment, you need clothing. You need health. God said, if you put me first, if you honor me, I will always provide for you. David said, I am old, once I was young, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed making bread. Ladies and gentlemen, God is the faithful God. Nancy, you and I have seen it come in almost supernaturally and divinely before. We've been at the very edge. And I do not recommend it, but I did. One night I felt led of God to write a hot check in the offering. It was Friday night, and I was in a meeting. Perry's laughing at me. It was Friday night, we're in a meeting, and so boy needed some money, and I wrote a $100 check, Perry, knowing full well that thing would bounce higher than a cat. And I said, Lord, by Monday morning, I need a miracle. I got to beat this check to the bank. I beat it to the bank. Amen? Plus. Do I recommend that all the time? No, I don't. That's not a doctrine I'm espousing it for. I'm just telling you, when God says do something, you can do it. Amen? He will honor you. We put God first in our finances. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28, one of my favorite scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning in verse number 1. If you fully obey the Lord your God, carefully follow all his commands, I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on the earth. How many of you understand that we are not normal people? We are favored, we are blessed by God. We're covenant children, covenant sons and daughters. Number two, all these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You put God first, you honor him. He said, this is what's going to happen. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. That pretty well covers that. The fruit of your womb will be blessed. Say with me, the fruit of my womb will be blessed. Now, for you ladies, that's a little easier to conceptualize than it is some of us men. But I want you men to understand that you had a part in that fruit of the womb. Amen? And God is saying he's going to bless you if you put him first. If you honor him, the fruit of your womb will be blessed, the crops of your land, the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. God's going to give you favor in your work, the work of your hand. You will be blessed, verse 6, when you come in and blessed when you go out. That pretty well covers that one, doesn't it? The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction but flee from you in seven. Praise God. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns. And on everything you put your hand to, the Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath. If you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, then all the peoples on the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. That word fear is not a mortal fear in the sense of being afraid. It is a fear of awe. It is a fear of, my my goodness, those people truly are blessed of the Lord. Now, that's what God said would be ours if we put Him first. Verse 11, the Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, the crops of your ground, in the land He swore to your forefathers to give you. Now, I realize we don't have many farmers here this morning. I understand that. But however it is that you earn your living, God said, I'm going to bless that. Amen? Put it in this day. The Lord, verse 12, will open the heavens, the storehouse of His bounty, to send rain on your land in its season, to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. Saying, God makes me the head, not the tail. Say it again. God makes me the head, not the tail. Do you believe that? If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I gave you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be where? At the top, never at the where? The bottom. Paul Mills didn't write this. The Lord wrote it. That's what God's Word says. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. In your notes, I quote Malachi 3, verses 10 through 12, where it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. The tithe is the first 10%. There's actually a tithe on a tithe. We won't go there. But we bring that first fruits. We bring God's holy money. Jim, I learned many years ago, 90% with the blessing and favor of the Lord goes a lot further than 100% with a curse on it. It really does. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. That's God's house. That's where you're being fed. That's where your needs are being supplied. That there may be food in my house. God is concerned about His house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven. Have you ever been to one of these big dams when they open those floodgates and that water just begins to gush through there? Just thousands of cubic feet of water start gushing through those things. God said, I'm going to open the floodgates of heaven. Pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. That's a lot of water. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of blessings. Paul Mills didn't write this, by the way. God wrote this. He said, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops. The vines in your fields will not cast their fruits. In other words, it's not going to come off early, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. He said the unbelievers are going to look at you and see the favor of God, not only spiritually, but financially, and they're going to say, of a truth, God must be with those people. I've been privileged to travel to many places in the world. Nancy and I were recalling, we went to Egypt many years ago on one of our trips to Israel, and the pyramids and the places they're showing on television are very familiar to us. And it was a very poor nation. The one thing Nancy and I both remember is how dirty and how poor Egypt was. There are very few Christians in Egypt, very few people that know the Lord. We've been to other nations. I'll never forget going to Austria, one of the cleanest places we've ever been. Beautiful. Predominantly a Christian nation, more so in past than now. But, and folks, I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to make a judgment here. I'm just saying where people honor God and put Him first, He blesses them. where people reject the Word of God, there is lack and there is want. I'm telling you, God's favor rests upon people who love Him, who worship Him, who honor Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these what? Things. Does God know you need things? Does He know you need money? Does He know that you need resources? Absolutely. And as we put God first, as we worship Him, as we honor Him, God said He would open the windows of heaven. Pour out so much that you don't even have room for it. Luke 6:38, the words of Jesus, give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. It's going to be compressed. It's going to be intensified. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. There's always the principle of multiplication. It's like one of these pressure cookers. You build that pressure in it. God said, I'm going to increase that which you give me. Now, why do we give? Number one, God does not need your money. Do you believe that? God isn't broke, doesn't need your money. We give. When I fell in love with Nancy, I wanted to give to her. I had a 1963 white Chevrolet Impala hardtop. Some of you are not old enough to remember what that was. We were engaged. She needed a car. I gave her that white Chevrolet hardtop. She didn't care enough about cars to even understand what I'd given her. Just a car. I was driving a 1956 Plymouth four-door. Ugly. Called them a Valiant or something. They were ugly. God, when you love, and there's a moral to this story. I'm trying to remember where I was going with that. The memories of that were coming back. It was an ugly car, Jim. It really was. Ugly. When you love someone, you want to give them the best that you have. Does anybody understand that? Anybody ever here ever been in love? I know some of you haven't, but when you love somebody, you want to give to them. You really do. It's not, you know, I had to put a gun to my head and say, give to the woman. I just gave to her. Loved her. Still am. Still do. When we put God first, in things, it's more than giving God money. God does not need your money. And I'm going to say it very carefully. This church really doesn't need your money. God is the source of this church. Amen? And so we appreciate it, and we want you to give. I'm not saying that, but I want you to understand, God is our source. There's no one person, no group of people. We give unto God. When you write that check, yeah, I know what, you write the check to Primetime, but you're giving that money to God. And when we do that, when we put Him first, then we are positioning ourselves to be blessed by God. By the way, that'll happen in any area of your life. Does it work with money? Yeah, it does work with money. But it also works with your compassion. If you give your love and your compassion, your time, God will give you back compassion and love and time. Whatever you sow is going to be reaped. It's a principle of God. Number two is posterity. How are we doing on time? Posterity. Turn to the book of Genesis chapter 15. Let's at least cover one more. Genesis chapter 15, beginning in verse number 1. Genesis 15:1. After this, The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Abram's name was Abram before God changed it to Abraham. Same guy. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. I am your very great reward. Say with me, God is my shield. He is my very great reward. Do you believe that? But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? The one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. By the way, Abram's 100 years old or so. Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. And that was the custom. If you did not have natural children, then your personal servant who has served you, his children become heirs of your estate. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Has anybody ever tried to count the stars? I did that one day. It doesn't work real good. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord. If you don't have that underlined in your Bible, you need to underline it. Abram believed the Lord. If God said it, that settles it, ladies and gentlemen. I don't have an opinion on the matter. Abraham believed the Lord, and he, God, credited it to him as righteousness. Skip down to verse number 18. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, to your descendants, I give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates. He said, I'm giving it to you. It's yours. God intends for his people to have a hope and a future. Number one, he intends to meet your needs in this present time. I can't tell you how, I can't tell you when. All I know is you just continue to confess. I've been through a time of testing physically in the last few months. I've just continued to confess. My God is able. The Lord my God heals. I've continued to confess the Word of God. I've laid hands on myself, said, that's weird. No, it's not weird, it's biblical. Amen? If somebody else can lay hands on you, you can lay hands on yourself. I spoke of the life of God. God, I claim that healing that you said is a children's bread. And God said, I'm going to give you what you have asked for in faith. In my name. In your notes, I've given you Genesis 22, verse 15. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, and this is when he had offered Isaac as a sacrifice, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. Did you know, somebody said, well, who died and left you in charge? Well, God did. Amen. That sounds hard, but did you know that you're in charge as a believer? That what you bind on earth is bound in heaven, what you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. What we say, we have the power of the tongue. We can call forth the things of God. And God is reminding of his covenant, of his promise. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. Through your offspring, all nations on the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Say with me, I am a blessing. Why are you a blessing? Because you've made Jesus Lord. Because you're honoring Him. Because you're walking according to His Word. Because you're believing His Word. We are the salt. We are the life. We are that in the earth that is given seasoning. If you've been keeping up with the events of this last week in Egypt and the Middle East, in the natural, it can be very disturbing, can't it? In the spirit, we are the head and not the tail. Amen? It is the Word of God that is in control here. And so am I concerned? Yes, I'm concerned. But I also know the promises of God. One more, Romans chapter 4. And we'll be closing. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Are you getting anything out of this? Romans chapter 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. God is speaking to Abraham now again. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. Abraham, by the way, had to believe just like you and I had to believe, by faith. The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. I want you to get that in your spirit this morning. The God who gives life to the dead. Some of you, when you get 9 birthday cakes or whatever it was I got this morning, that can be a bit sobering. You ever got 9 birthday cakes, Perry? You're not as old as I am, are you? Be honest. Anybody ever feel old? God said we're the head and not the tail. God said we're sons and daughters of covenant. He said he gives life to the dead or near dead and calls things that are not as though they were. I speak the life of God to you as long as God leaves you on this earth. I speak the life of God to you that you will give glory to him. That you will have his power and grace operating in you and through you. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. And so he became the father of many nations. Against all hope, Abraham looked at his body. He was 100. His wife was 90. They were not in prime time. So shall your offspring be without weakening in his faith. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Since he was about 100 years old and Sarah's womb was also dead, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promises of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. In fact, the title of our whole series is What God Has Promised. Does he have power to do what he's promised? Did he have power to give Abraham and Sarah a son? Did he have power to send his blessing? Did he have power to turn back the jaws of the lions when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den? Did he have the power to open the Red Sea and let 6 million people go across dry shod? Ladies and gentlemen, we serve a mighty God this morning. And quite frankly, I've about had it to hear with the devil. Amen? Perry, I'm going to confess, I will live and not die. I'm speaking to you this morning. You are the called according to his purpose. And the plan and purposes of God will be fulfilled in your life. The gifts that you have the callings of God in your life. We have been raised up. We are a city set on a hill. I was going through the newspaper one day this week and saw our ad. And I said, thank God for somebody to run an ad like that. Amen? Thank God for a church that's open to people 50 and over, that will embrace them and love them and take them and accept them and pray for them and love them and be there and preach Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, if Christ doesn't come back, and if I live a few more years, you're going to see something significant come for God. You ain't seen nothing yet. We just barely started here. What a mighty God we serve. We are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. With Nancy, we're going to live and not die. We're going to fulfill the purpose and destiny of God. God knew you before the foundation of the world, ladies and gentlemen. He has a plan, a purpose for your life. There's not enough devils in hell to stop that purpose. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you're a loving God. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Don't understand why you did that. When I was in rebellion, strong-willed, deserving judgment, You looked upon me and you had compassion. And you said, if Paul Mills is the only one that will ever accept me, I'll still go. You left the splendor of heaven. You took upon yourself the form of sinful man. You lived. You went to the cross. You took my sin. You said, if I will call, you'll answer. Show me great and mighty things I don't know. You'll forgive my sin. You'll make me new. Dear God, I'm so glad that you brought us to this point this morning. Callings and the purposes of God are without repentance. Everything in our life that has happened has been allowed to bring us to this point in time. We can be used by you. Have compassion. Have understanding. Have faith. We love you, Lord. We just come and we say, we're yours. Use us for your glory. Take us as individuals. Take us as a church. And use us, O God, to lift up the name of Jesus Christ.
This is Paul Mills again. I pray that this message has blessed you. This ministry is possible only through the faithful prayers and financial gifts of God's people. Please pray for us and make a financial contribution so that we can continue to reach people around the world with the message of hope in Jesus Christ. You can give online by clicking the Giving tab at the top of the website, or you can give by mail to the address also listed on the Giving page. All gifts are sincerely needed, appreciated, and are tax deductible. Thank you for helping us reach the world for Christ.